do you guys wipe?
See, that's always been, I don't think I've ever done it right, but it's like I'm in too deep.
That's
I'm in too
not
deep
a lot
now.
Of confidence.
You some kind of side to side freak?
No, dude, I just,
well, so I've seen the side to side thing around. What does that mean? Like you put it in and then you just wiggle it back and forth?
That's what I get. I'm not a side to side.
Oh, dude, I do that
from experience.
You wiggle it back and forth.
You go like from one cheek to the other cheek directionally.
Okay, no.
Not between the cheeks.
That's not what I do.
That's what I was saying by side by side or side to side.
No,
I'm talking less about how you do it, but more about how you lead up to the wipe. Do you stand? Do you go on your side?
I do a little bit of a stand.
I do a little bit of a stand.
It's
as
just
well.
it's you got to get enough space to get in there. You know what I mean?
I feel like I can get in there just fine, still sitting.
No, so how do you do it? How do you do that?
Between the legs.
Oh, come on!
Go under the balls.
Wait. So while
your
sitting,
arm is like
you don't
in
move
the toilet.
What? No! How high are your fucking toilet bowls?
Okay. I don't.
Like
there's
the,
no
the,
way.
The water in the toilet bowl. How do you not have enough room to be able to put your arm under your nuts and not touch the water?
No,
I got
wait,
like
so
10
you're saying
inches
you don't
of shit
move
in the toilet, and I can't.
No.
You're saying that you don't move a cheek. You just stick your hand straight under. Yeah. And you wipe from in there.
I mean, sometimes like I'll adjust to like peel the cheek so that I get a nice clean like runway
right
to go through.
When you say adjust, you like you sit up, you stretch your cheek and then you sit on it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I do that.
Okay.
I do that. But that being said, I think Justin and I have thicker butts and thighs. I don't think it's even possible for us to
well, let me tell you, after I work all these muscles with my resistance bands and they get shredded to shit, I'm either going to have to figure out a new way to poop or I'm going to prove you wrong.
Dude, is it possible to have like such a big thigh gap, it just comes out clean and you don't need to wipe anymore?
Meaning like cool. The poop will never hit the cheek.
Yeah,
I think just, you need more than a thigh gap, then that's like a cheek gap.
Yeah, you can get a cheek.
Yeah, your
cheeks get so ripped and so toned, there's just not enough fat for it to get close enough for you to have to wipe.
But
right,
I thought you get a tight booty when you work it out. And so it's like like you get
well,
the
you
edges
get tight,
it gets
maybe,
booty, but like the center of
right
it gets tighter, I feel
I've
like.
Just I've misunderstood my booty.
Maybe the center gets tighter, but the sides trim from the fat, so they get so like squeezed together that there's no, they don't touch anymore. Like your cheeks don't touch. Like there's a genuine gap even when you sit. You've cut so much fat that you essentially have like small little patties as butts
that
are just muscle.
Little
yes
crabby patties.
Right.
With like a perfect divot down the middle of them.
Right. So
like when
butt
people get really ripped pecs. But like imagine yes transplanting that onto your ass.
Like when David Hasselhoff in the SpongeBob movie like
yes
opens up his chest. Yeah.
That's
exactly
what
how
it is.
A ripped person's butt is gonna look.
Dude, that movie still holds up. Okay.
That's
oh
the next
God
step
yes
in human evolution, honestly.
It is. That's the true cyborg nature of what where we need to be.
Okay.
When we break CRISPR and we can alter our genetics, first thing I'm doing.
I'm glad we started off strong. I don't know how we're going to
yes
be able
did
to top all this.
Well, this is video game sexy is talking all about your butt stuff that we need to talk about in your favorite poopy wipes.
Yes, butt stuff.
We have not gotten a single email in yet. So send us an email and say how you poop and how you wipe.
Please.
And how toned your butts are.
Put the subject line butt stuff.
Feel free to send us a picture, honestly.
I was going to say, Brad, I need you to send me a video of how you
I
do
need
it
to see this to believe
oh
it, Brad.
My workout?
This. Yeah. No,
no,
no.
Wiping.
You're wiping.
Oh! Oh! I stretch my leg. I got you on that end.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you said this is video game sexy. Who do we have here?
This is video game sexy. I'm one of your hosts, Blake Gilmore, and I'm joined by Brad Ernst.
That's me.
And Justin Patterson.
Hello. That's me.
And we're here with your daily hot takes, your daily butt stuff comments, your daily who's its and what's its.
I'm all for a hot take. What do we got on the chopping block?
I've played 30 hours of Outer Worlds this week.
Have you really?
Wow. Yeah, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing?
It's okay. Okay. It's an okay game.
I wanted to get your, because I bought you that game because I wanted to get your take on it. I didn't buy it for you because I thought it was a really, really good game. I bought it for you because I want to know, what do you think?
I kind of talked to you about this a little bit. It's made by Obsidian. They did New Vegas. It is so close in structure and story and so many gameplay elements to New Vegas. It's hard to play it while not thinking about New Vegas. Even like the aesthetic, like this is a future spacefaring civilization.
Mm-hmm.
But even in this universe, they still have the 50s style advertisements.
Yeah.
Like that's what really annoys me. It's like you're making a whole different lore, you're making a whole different like set of humans, but for some reason they're the exact same as the Fallout humans that were stuck in the 50s. The only reason it makes sense in this is because they sent humans to these colonies. So you would assume that the reason that it would be like that is because those colonies never moved past that culturally. But it still is kind of like you couldn't come up with something new. It's very similar to that.
See, every time I get your take, you always... Okay, so like I could play a game and think about it one way, and then you play it, and it's always just like something completely different. Like you always,
which is great.
Go, yeah, yeah,
it's
I love it,
baby.
Yeah, I love it. Have you played any Outer Worlds, Brad?
No, I have not.
No, okay.
It's one that I'd looked into quite a bit, but just never got the chance to.
My favorite thing about Outer Worlds is the how everything. I mean, you understand the tone of that game, Blake. Right, like you understand the focus.
Yeah,
like it's just everything's like a corporation and like advertising. So that the game is very how does it feel to, what do you think of how the game plays? Like does it feel kind of stiff? Or
I heard a lot of critique on the game, on the combat, and how it's very subpar. It's in no way good, but I would also consider New Vegas combat in no way good.
I get you.
I think New Vegas I would take over this because for some, I can't pinpoint it. I haven't thought about it much, but New Vegas's combat, while not good, is passable for what it is, as opposed to this, for some reason it's not. Just doesn't feel, it doesn't feel great.
Well, an issue I have with the combat.
There's no VATS, but there's a slow-mo, which is kind of like, it's in a way just like VATS, but you have to aim yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like in VATS, if you select a certain arm, head and stuff, in this, whenever you change a different part of body you're aiming at, it'll tell you a different status effect you'll give that person.
That's
so
right.
If you aim at the head, it'll be like blinded. If you aim at the arm, it'll be like maimed. If you aim it at the torso, it'll be like bleeding. So that's kind of their way around it, but it's just like VATS essentially.
So
I feel like that almost takes something away from it. It just on like concept to me, because again, like you said, the combat in New Vegas, I mean Fallout in general, like it's not that good, but that was kind of the saving grace when I played those games, was having VATS to essentially just bypass to aim.
Yeah,
exactly. So even the fact that it's just not an auto aim for me, that might just be the inner millennial in me not wanting to do anything, but
it's not that bad.
That
I
doesn't
think
sound,
it works.
That sounds so much more tedious than just like, and watching like a cool cinematic thing of like my guy popping this guy's head. And like that feels also like more in the tone of like what Obsidian did with New Vegas, because it's much more like storyline and about you. So being able to like set up cool moments and be like, that's my character, I'm watching me be like a fucking badass, instead of just like pew pew pew, because I never felt like a badass shooting guns in any Fallout game, even like the nukes and stuff. They're not crunchy. They're not.
Yeah. Ooh, I need some crunchy guns. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, and I can't speak for Outer Worlds, but Fallout guns are not crunchy.
It's like in Outer Worlds, the problem I have, like, the weapons feel very, there's not a lot of variety, first of all. Like, you don't really have much to play with, and a lot of it is just like, oh, here's this same gun, but maybe it has a different status effect, or maybe it's like the upgraded version, or maybe it has like a scope on it. Like, it's very boring when other titles have spoiled me so much with the weapon variety. Like, if you play even Fallout, yeah, Fallout has a pretty decent weapon variety, I would say. I mean, there's better examples. There's way better examples than Fallout, but I think Fallout has a pretty good weapon variety, unique weapons and whatever. But my favorite thing about Outer Worlds, the combat is, it's underwhelming. Like, if you crank up the difficulty, it just makes people more spongy. And it's, if you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, it's going to be really hard to try to like it. So that's the combat. But my favorite thing about Outer Worlds, I remember it. It's in the first town. I just wanted to point this out. It's so everything is so corporate structured. Like, corporate has, like, everything's business focused and like advertising. Like, everybody's spitting out like company slogans like everywhere you go. And one of my favorite things, it's like a tuna can factory in the back of the first like major town you go to. Did you go over there, Blake? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not yet. You'll have to keep talking.
Okay, it's like a canning factory, and you go and walk over to, like, I'm just like talking to people, like everyone I see, to see what they have to say. And it's like a manager for the factory, and they're telling me how they're really pissed because they lost one of their workers. And I'm like, why? And they're like, he committed suicide, and because of that, we had to dock their family members. We had to find them because we lost a worker because of that. And like, hearing that, I'm just like, okay, I get exactly where this game is going. Like, and it's just like brutal, and everything is just like, that's what I like about the game. What I don't like is walking up to a computer terminal and just interacting with it and getting like five pages of one of those, where it's like, I walked in and I had my pay docked because my boss walked in and he saw me tying my shoe when I could have been working. Like, I don't need, Obsidian is really, really good at adding a ridiculous amount of detail to the story they're trying to explain. I've played other Obsidian games like Torchlight. What's the other one that's like Torchlight? I'm trying to remember.
Diablo.
No, well, yeah, but no, not Diablo. It's not coming to me now, but it's an older game. And like, every time, every single person you talk to just has walls of text. Like, you'll walk up to the dog and the dog will just have fucking walls of text. And I'm just like, no way, no way. And
I just imagine it like, it's just woof, bark, period. Bark, and then like bark, parentheses. Bark, bark. Yeah. And no. And then like parentheses. It's like a thesis statement.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I get the appeal. It's just like, I want to play the game. I want to play the game. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be invested in something and I'll want to play it. But like, it's very easy to lose me when I just got finished reading a wall of text and I'm like, okay, now I get to do something. And I walk over to another wall of text, and just like 30 minutes of my day has just been spent trying to get out of this room that keeps hitting me with walls of text. And I mean, a bunch of games have that problem, but I notice with Obsidian games, they consistently have that problem. But Outer Worlds just, it seems to be wearing its welcome faster than I expected it would. Is that fair, Blake?
Well, so I kind of have mixed thoughts about that. And it definitely did for you, because you were telling me
the reading.
You were telling me like, oh, I had got to this one spot, like the ship right after that first world.
Yeah.
and you were saying, oh, and then I just kind of, it kind of wore thin. And that is like the tutorial world that you got off.
Essentially, you could do a lot there, but it's still like just a bite of what you got coming. Right. Yeah.
Because I know exactly what you mean on all like the explanations it has, like in all the text and the walls of text. It works half the time for me, and the other half I'm like, actually, like,
let's go.
Yeah, like I'm reading all these things in the terminals, and then I'm going through every text option of every person, and for some reason, like, I like it, but it's not top tier sci-fi. It's kind of like,
it's like so it's,
I
like,
wish it was more.
It's missing something a lot, like, because they'll have a bunch of flavor text in, and there won't always be like a good payoff. It'll just finish and you're like, oh, okay.
Like I'll hit the one thing in a terminal and I'll be like, that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should read everything because I don't want to miss that one nugget of gold.
And it's just, and it becomes kind of, it kind of, for me, it feels like, okay, now I'm like getting frustrated because it's like, am I going to miss the one good thing in that terminal?
Yeah.
Or am I going to spend more time playing the game? Like,
yeah, to me, Outer Worlds is much less Fallout than it is Mass Effect in first person with a Fallout overlay, because it's essentially the same structure as Mass Effect, where you're going planet to planet and each planet has its own kind of city and missions. And then, because it's not one big open world,
mm-hmm.
it's multiple, some really small, some big. But I just don't think it's successful in any meaningful way. There's a few like choice missions that I'm like, oh, I'm really invested on both sides, and I made like that decision, and I feel like I made this world better because of my decision, and that's great. But it just doesn't hit on the mark all the time with that, where I feel like New Vegas was just constantly interesting people, interesting stories, interesting side stories, and this is very, very hit or miss in terms of what's like genuinely good sci-fi lore and quests and stuff. But yeah, I'm gonna keep playing because like I'm enjoying it, and yeah, I want to finish it.
I want to see what you have to say when you get further into the game, because I have gotten past that ship. I've gotten to the point where I have all the crew members. Like I've done like a decent amount.
Oh, okay, you did do that. Okay,
yeah,
great.
But I don't know, because like in a game like Mass Effect 2, I literally went out of my way to read all of the codex lore entries. Like I literally went out of my way to do that, and it's just harder to do that in Outer Worlds for some reason. But do we there was another game. Did you play anything this week, Brad? Anything you want to talk about?
I played a little more Bravely Default, and okay. I played Slay the Spire because I could play that entirely with my left arm.
Ooh,
I scooted my mouse on the other side of my keyboard and was like, yes,
there we go.
Nice.
Yeah,
I saw right when we hopped off last week, I saw you on Steam. Oh, who's playing Slay the Spire right now?
Because I was thinking about it while we were recording, because you talked about it, and I was like, I bet you I could play that with one hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to download that right now.
How was it?
It was good.
How was it? Yeah.
I got a clean finish in like two runs, and then when I cleared it before, it hadn't unlocked. The one chick wasn't in the game yet. The monk girl, so she wasn't unlocked yet, so that unlocked
yeah
her.
I don't have her unlocked.
She's weird.
Mm.
She's weird. She like shifts between stances, and then based on when you leave, while you're in the stance, certain things will happen, and then when you leave the stance, certain things will happen. So it's, you have like big build-ups and then big swing turns, but it feels really hard to use those in that way because of the fact that you're randomly drawing them instead of being able to be like, okay, I know I can consistently set this up.
Is it kind of like, because I went, the first two people are very straightforward, like the first person is just hitting and blocking, and then the second guy is like stacking poison, and mm-hmm. then the third guy, when I played him, I was like, what the yeah. fuck is this?
Because you have to queue up. It's yeah. so weird.
Queue up and activate orbs, and they all do different things, and like exploring that, I feel like I would have to play like three or four rounds just to really understand what it is, as opposed to Poison Man, one round and I fully understand the deck.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how it is, where it's like complex in that way?
It's taken me a little more to work around, at least, like, because like I think as well, it's really easy to see the directions, even beyond poison or like hit block, the way they want you to build the decks kind of thing, where like, okay, you can go like for the poison chick, there's, you know, you can go like discard stuff, you can go like super cheap cards and combo stuff, you can do stuff like that, or poison, like you can take your deck in different directions, trying to figure out what directions they actually want to take that deck, I'm struggling with, like how to actually build a good deck with her.
You think it's something that like you need to look at the wiki to get a nice complex take on it?
I think a couple more tries would probably do it, because I think I only did it 2 or 3 times and I was like, this is fucked, and it just went away.
Yeah,
but it's cool, it's neat.
Do you have any other deck builders that you really like?
I'd have to get back to you on
Pokemon.
That. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Did you guys actually collect Pokemon cards? I've seen
as
so
a kid,
many people.
Yeah,
I did. I've seen a lot of streamers like doing openings, like live openings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's interesting. It's like a loot box.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I collected them. My cousin gave me like a huge binder because he grew out of it. And he gave me like a huge binder with like all of his cards. And I was like, sick. Yeah, that was cool.
Do you still have it?
No way. There's
wonder if
no
it
would have
been worth anything.
Probably not, honestly. Just a bunch of commons, common cards, yeah. But I don't know.
To be fair, I definitely did not play it as a kid. We pretty much played it more as like war style, where it was like, no, I've got the bigger Pokemon. No, I've got the bigger Pokemon. Not like any structure.
I would do that, but I would play with myself with Yu-Gi-Oh.
I did that. Yu-Gi-Oh was where I actually learned how to play, because my older brother, at first I had a little starter deck, and that's when I was still doing the war stuff. And then my older brother for my birthday got me like this super pack that had like 2 different starter decks, like the fold out pads, so you could see where all of your like piles are supposed to go and keep track of everything, like a whole video thing you could put in and watch that would teach you how to play Yu-Gi-Oh. It's fucking amazing. So that's when I actually got into it and was like, I can play a card game. I still don't have anybody to play with, but I knew how to play.
I didn't even know Yu-Gi-Oh had genuine rules.
It's pretty hardcore.
When I was playing it, I was like, I was like, oh yeah, just like you were saying, Brad, like this one's the bigger one or the cooler one, so this one wins. Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Yu-Gi-Oh is crazy too. Like in competitive Yu-Gi-Oh, most games are decided on turn 1 or 2.
Really?
Yeah. Because they just combo off that hard. Like there's a competitive deck. I don't know if it's in the like cycle anymore, but it was like if it had the correct starting hand, it literally won on turn 0. Before you got to take your turn, it was like, no, I get to do this, combo, I win. Yu-Gi-Oh's fucking nuts.
That
sounds unfair.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yu-Gi-Oh is like, when people talk about breaking a card game, Yu-Gi-Oh's like if you broke it so much that it was balanced again, kind of. Because it's not, but there's
like
a semblance
where,
of
like,
it.
People on either side can break it just as much as the other person,
exactly.
So that's why it's balanced.
Exactly.
Yeah. not recently, probably like within the last 5 years, because I messed with cards when I was probably like, I don't know, 10, 12, like around that age probably. But I dropped it for a long time, and like out of nowhere, I think I was probably like 20. I was like 20, 21, and I messaged my friend, and I was like, I was really trying to get into Magic the Gathering because I thought it was really interesting and I just wanted to collect stuff again. And I was like, hey, what do you think of Magic the Gathering? It was Tyler. I was asking Tyler, like, what do you think of Magic the Gathering? And he's like, oh, man, like, I worded it like, what do you think of Magic? And he's like, it's OK. My dad was into it for a while. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, my dad was into Magic. And I'm like, hold on, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, Magic, like my dad did magic tricks. And I was like, oh, okay. No, I was talking about Magic
the
Gathering.
Rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah, I was talking about Magic Gathering. He's like, oh, okay, yeah. And that was fun. I actually played it with my wife. Magic the Gathering is like, it's very easy for it to just become overwhelming. I mean, with any card game, when you come to like the deck building aspect of it and like how far do you really want to take this it comes to like websites where you could buy specific cards and like super stuff, like stuff can be like super expensive. But no, I kind of lost all the steam when it comes to like card games now.
I was I was deep in the Magic hall while we when we were up in Reno. Oh. I had a good crew of people that we played consistently.
Dude, it's fun.
They'd talk about prices of cards over lunch whenever I'd eat with them.
So much, like I get like pains in my chest thinking about how much money I spent on Magic. It's not okay.
Oh, no.
Do you know about
I think the most expensive card that I bought at the time was around $100-$120 for a single card.
Wow.
Dude, I look at cards that were like 13 cents.
Cameron bought a card that was worth, I think, $600 or $700.
Stop. You stop that.
Do you even play those cards or do you just hold on to them?
No, Cameron played them. Cameron, like, we used to give Cameron so much shit because he's played Magic for so long. He has cards that have gone up in value that, like, none of us can afford, but they're super busted. So we always gave him shit for having just like having money decks where it's like, okay, no, you're doing ridiculously well. Exactly. But it worked out because the format we played was called Commander. It's the best format in the whole game. You build a 100 card singleton deck and it's meant to be played with 4+ players. So even when there's somebody who comes into the game with a money deck, 3 people teaming against him more often than not can put him down.
That sounds awesome.
It's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Majority fucking rules, buddy. Get your money out of here.
Do you know about the Black Lotus, Brad?
Yes.
How much is the Black Lotus?
Mint? I think it's like 30,000+.
Yeah.
But like baseline, majority of Black Lotuses, I think it's like 2 to 3K.
Is it true that Black Lotus is like a one-time use card, but I'm pretty sure it's super expensive. I don't know if it's a rumor or not, but I'm pretty sure it's super expensive.
It's from beta. It's from literally like when they were making the cards, hand cutting them at the college that the game started at.
I'm pretty sure that the reason that card is so expensive is because I don't know if it's a rumor or not, but when you use the card, you're supposed to rip the card in half. Is that a rumor?
No. Okay, so Magic does like meme card sets. They're called like Unglued, and there's I can't remember what the other ones are called, but they do these meme sets. So they'll make like joke cards of other cards that they do, or just really funny cards. Like there's like a singing clam one that's like you can play singing clams for free as long as you keep singing or something like that. There's a card that costs 1,000,000 mana to pay or to play, so you have to generate infinite mana to play it. Like it's stupid shit. And one of the things that they did is I think it's called I think Petal of Lotus is real, but there is a card called like Corruption Disc that literally what you're supposed to do on the card is you take the card and you like flip it up in the air, and any cards it lands on physically, those cards are removed from the game, and then you take that card and you rip it up.
Interesting.
Like there's so many good, if I remember right, there's a card, and this one, if I remember right, isn't even in the meme sets. I think it's called Scheherazade, and on the card it's like, take what you're like your library and set everything down, pick up your library and get under the table you're currently playing on, start a new game of Magic with what you have and play that out. The winner of that game comes back to the regular game, everybody else loses half their life. It's like
that sounds like it'd make it fucking
shit.
Interesting.
there's a card called Goblin Game. This one's legal too, because Cameron used to play this in our group. So you go, both players can go anywhere, and you collect a number of objects. It doesn't matter what, you just gather things and you hide them behind your back. And then both players at the same time hold out their objects in front of you. You lose life equal to the number of objects that you reveal, but the person who has less objects than the other person also loses half of their life.
So it's a dash to get as many objects as you can?
kind of, but like smartly, because it's also the mind game of like, how many are they gonna do? How many can they do? Like, how are they gonna push? It's mwah.
Dude, that
it's
is
so stupid.
Incredible.
I love magic.
So those meme decks were all made like at the inception of Magic, or are they continuing?
They still do it
now.
Okay, they still do Unglued and I can't think of what it's called, but the stupid sets.
That's incredible. Well,
are there any like Magic decks that are like drinking game decks?
I would be surprised if there wasn't.
Probably, yeah. There's like tribal decks, so like cards will have keywords and they can benefit from each other in that. There is a meme tribal in like the community called Chair Tribal, in which every single card you play has to have a chair in the card art. There's no benefit to playing it, but people still do.
Sounds like a great community, honestly.
Yeah. It's great. I love it.
I remember sitting when we were having lunch and we were talking about it. I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but this is real money they're talking about. Like, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
You been playing anything, Justin?
Playing a few things. Yeah, I'm playing, so I'm still playing Days Gone, and my fucking god.
Is it good?
My god. No, well, it's complicated.
Okay.
So in Days Gone, right now, my objective in Days Gone is to finish the game so I can play Horizon Zero Dawn. That is what I'm trying to do in Days Gone.
That's
right now.
That's not a great...
So I was probably like 20 hours into the game, and I feel like everything's starting to wrap up. Okay, like we're going, let's get to the end. And then I do a very significant story mission, and I'm like, okay, all right. Like, I did this. And then something happens and I'm driving somewhere, and then the fucking game pulls a Baba Is You on me and fucking just opens up, and I'm just like, no, no. And this character, I'm not an eye roller, but this fucking game has made me roll my eyes so many fucking times with how many things that the story just tries to pull on me. And it's like these really painful to sit through, like expected one-liners that just keep getting pulled. And like, I don't care about these characters at all. And like Deacon, the main guy, like he's still pretty insufferable. He's much more tolerable now than he was in the beginning, but it's still, that's not really much. That's not saying much.
Is it character development?
I can't even say that. It's really painful.
Is everyone walking around comparing bike sizes to each other?
The only thing saving this game is the comparing bikes, guys. The only thing saving this game is the gameplay loop is pretty fun, but it, like, so I get bored of the gameplay loop by the time I'm done playing, and then when I pick it up the next day, it's kind of fresh again, and I'm like, okay, this is fun again for like another hour or two. Then after that, it's like powering through. I am so fucking close to the end of this game, I can taste it, and the only reason I keep going is because of Horizon Zero Dawn. That is the only thing keeping me going, because I don't want to start another open world game and have this one still going. But that's how it's going.
Is it so? It's good enough where you're not like, I'm just going to start Horizon Zero Dawn right now.
Is that your
gamer mindset?
I'm disciplining myself.
Taking you prisoner.
I'm disciplining myself, and I'm like, I have put so much time in this game. I need to finish it. I have this list of games I've finished, and this has to go on that list. Okay. And then I'll start up Horizon Zero Dawn.
You're talking a lot of shit about the main character of Days Gone, but I bet every one-liner he gets, you're like, let me write, that's a good one. Let me write that one down.
I can't recall.
That'd be a great one for video game sexy.
I have one that's good. A one-liner that, okay, it's not good. It's really fucking painful to listen to. But there's this one part where it's like a flashback, and it's the wedding, and they're going over their vows, and the wife is talking to the husband, and she's like, all of her vows are, ride me as much as you ride your bike.
Fuck.
And I'm just off. Like, oh my god.
I want you to fill me with the fuel from your gas
It's just pumper. Like what pump I just me up said.
Like you pump those tires.
Like that is
fill me with air.
What you should expect from this game, because they just give you more of that, and it's like,
is it self-aware of that stuff?
The problem is, I don't think so. That's the problem. Like if they did it over the top and were completely self-aware, it'd probably work. It'd probably work really well. It'd be much better. But it's like the game is, it feels like it's taking it seriously, and it's, I don't know. It's not a bad game. Right now, it's probably a 6 out of 10. And that's like 30 hours in.
Okay.
It's like 30 hours in. It's like a 6 out of 10.
Would you say, have you seen Wild Hogs?
No, but I've seen enough of the material to know I do not really want to. Actually, maybe I do want to watch that movie.
I'm curious how you'd compare Wild Hogs to Days Gone.
Okay, well, I'll check it out.
If the humor, I'm wondering if the humor is that's better with like Days Gone.
Tim Allen and the guy from King of Queens, Kevin Smith, right? No, he's not.
Kevin James.
I don't know. Other than that, I've been playing fucking Dark Souls 3 and Demon Souls, which have been giving me they've both been giving me a hard time for different reasons.
They've been testing your will.
No, fucking Demon Souls. There was a point in Demon Souls. I'm playing Demon Souls. I've dealt with a lot of shit. Okay. I've dealt with a lot of shit in Souls games. And Demon Souls has hit me with some shit where I'm like, this is bullshit. Dude, like this is some bullshit. I rage quit from Demon Souls. I literally rage quit from Demon Souls. I haven't rage quit from a video game since I was like 17. And I am now 25, having gone through 6 different Souls games, and I'm rage quitting at Demon Souls.
And left you a broken man.
I could not believe it. I could not believe it. This game hits you with some bullshit. It's dated. It's a dated game. So okay, so other than Demon Souls feels really good though. It's very, very it's very fun to play. It feels good. It feels really, really good.
Still crunchy?
Yes, still crunchy. Dark Souls 3. So I was stuck on this Freed boss fight in the DLC for Dark Souls 3 for the longest time, and for whatever reason I was convinced that that would be it. I'm like, okay, so I finally beat this boss fight. Probably took me like a solid 40, 50 tries, if I'm being real. Like, it's not my proudest Souls moment, but I got the job done. And then after that, I go through, like, there's a new bonfire that pops up, and I pick up the bonfire. I light it up, and it teleports me to another location. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then, I'm talking to my buddy Tyler, who's just, he wants to see my reaction to everything in this game. I'm like, how far am I in this DLC? And he's like, oh, dude, you're like, literally, like, you're just getting started. You have so many fucking bosses to go through and so much shit. You like, and it is hard. It is so hard. Like, that's what he's telling me. I haven't even experienced it yet. And I just keep going, keep dealing with bullshit, and I get to another boss fight, and I beat the boss, and I'm like, that was easy. And then the boss fucking gets up for round 2, and it's way fucking harder than I anticipated it being, and it's just, I just never learn. I've played so many Souls games, and they keep fucking surprising me with bullshit.
I wonder if Sekiro was an answer to the fact that Souls bosses always fucking die twice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, we're going to actually give you a meaningful thing telling you there's going to be a second form after this one. Yeah.
I think I remember like 20 episodes ago, I said that there was going to be like DLC for Sekiro, and it still hasn't happened.
Are they still planning it?
I don't remember. It's been,
because I'm not going to play that shit. So,
it's been so long since I said that. I don't remember like where I heard it or where I got it from. But I wouldn't have said it if it was bullshit. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I
hope we get it.
Yeah. I've been.
Yeah. You were talking so much shit on that Dark Souls 3 stream that I'm just like, you're coming in here after all that big talk, buddy, and you're saying that you're suddenly not good at Dark Souls
3? No, I asked Tyler, because my buddy Tyler tells me he's played a lot of Souls games and he watches me play. And I was like, when it's PvE, I'm like, I fucking manhandle that shit normally. Like almost every single time I manhandle that PvE shit. But I asked him, because I've never gotten someone's opinion, and I'm like, am I good at Dark Souls? Like, am I a good? And he's like, oh, you are well above the average Dark Souls player. And that gave me a real big confidence boost. I was like, okay, thank you. Thank you. And I keep going, and it's, I don't know, sometimes I fuck shit up, but usually the boss fights are, they give everybody trouble.
Brad, did you say you played this one?
I don't think you played the DLC for Dark Souls 3.
No, I haven't played the DLC for 3. I'm missing that one.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get that taken care of.
I'll hop on to 3 eventually, I think.
3 is probably objectively the best Dark Souls game. I thought about it, and I think objectively 3 is probably the best.
Gameplay-wise, 100%. Well,
yes. What do you say other than gameplay?
I think, like, I'm a fucking sucker for how well
you can say
they integrated the world and in 1. Okay. But like, I know it's done to death, but like it's
You're right.
not to be understated how well that map design is. How many times I was like, I wonder where this is gonna go. And I pop out of somewhere that I've already been, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
That makes so much sense.
In Dark Souls 2, in Dark Souls 3, in even Bloodborne, there's not nearly as many of those moments. The majority of it is like self-contained within an area, and you unlock a nice shortcut to be able to like cut through, but not like, how the fuck did I even get here? And it actually like makes sense kind of thing. Like you can see the area and you're like, wow.
So you say the world building is better in 1?
World, like map design. I don't even know if world building, because the fucking lore is so goddamn hit or miss. I cannot say that I understand
in
any capacity of, there's so much.
Is there a theme to Dark Souls lore? Like, is there like a message to it?
If there is, it's complicated.
Cycles.
Always. Okay.
That I can guarantee.
Oh, that's
you,
it's the same it's in like, Bloodborne.
Like, cycle of fire. It's the circle mark is the dark sign because it's a circle. It's a cycle, and then you're cycling your life. Like, there's a lot. I'm sure there is a lot more to that because I love watching lore videos, but my brain never retains the information.
Yeah, they have
but
like
if
a,
there's
yeah.
if like a fucking... if there's a central theme to Dark Souls. I would say cycles.
Vadi video.
So cycles as in like the circle of life sort of thing?
Yeah, I kind of like starting something and finishing it and then starting it again and doing it again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
What does that mean? How does that apply to us as humans?
The circle of life?
Bruh.
Man, I just keep pooping.
Consume.
Just don't stop pooping.
Consume.
I've been sitting here because like I'm still out of commission for my ankle. I've been thinking, what if I went back into Sekiro? What if I did?
Bro,
that?
Do it.
And then
just do it.
And then I say no.
How far are you? Did you beat the bull?
What?
Did you beat the bull?
The bull?
He's well past
Man,
the bull.
We've talked about this several times,
that
Justin.
That was like 20 episodes ago. I don't remember.
I got to Al.
Oh, that's right. Okay. We actually talked about this last week, I think.
What? Do you have another gaming podcast?
I don't.
You cheating
wait,
on us?
Okay. When you say Owl, do you mean top of the tower Owl?
Yes.
Dude, you just need to play the game. You just need to keep
Other
playing.
Owls hard.
That is no. That is a tough fight, but it is very doable. You just need to do it.
Like I said, it's not the fight, it's the getting to the fight.
I need to see what you're doing. What do you have it on, Steam or PS4?
I have it on Steam.
Dude, boot it up right now.
Stream.
I uninstalled it.
Including my save.
Yeah, deleted my save.
I need to see exactly what... I'll tell you how to beat the game. I just gotta see it.
I don't want you to tell me how to beat the game.
XBA!
No, do it!
Forward!
Block!
Oh, see, you died there. I told you to block. You needed to parry.
What was I don't know, because I was stuck on the monkey. The giant monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I beat that first monkey, and in one play sesh I went all the way through to Owl, and I must have been having a good time. And then when I got to Owl, I was just done with this stupid sword game.
Well, you're not like, is he close to the end? I don't remember how close that is to the end.
Boss wise, I wouldn't say that there's that much. If you want to do like the other ending shit, there's you could a do lot a bunch more of shit. To do.
Yeah.
But in terms of what you have left, because you beat the monkey, but you didn't beat the monk, right? Did you beat the ghost monk thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you beat the ghost monk?
Did you beat the... Yeah. Did you go in the sky?
That's when it's... No, I think I know.
I don't think he has gone there yet.
No, he's 100% hasn't gone there. I know, because you get to the tower, you do the fight on top of the tower with Dum Dum, who fucking lightnings himself, and then you get sent to go two different directions, one to the monkey, one to the monk. You beat both of them, you get their items, and then that's when you go to...
I'd say you're probably like 2/3 of the way then.
That's insane. I'm done with this game. Dude, yeah.
The thing is I was going to say boss-wise, you don't have that much left. But first of all, the bosses are fucking rough. And second, the areas are pretty big. And also, the areas are pretty fucking rough.
Damn.
Just keep going.
I don't know. Something's up with my will to live right now. Like...
Sekiro, you disciplining yourself?
Maybe.
Sekiro's rough. I mean, you could have a more enjoyable time playing some other games, probably.
Are you even elite gamer?
Yeah, what's the point? What's the point of playing games if you're not the best?
Saying I'm playing Outer Worlds over Sekiro is probably sacrilege for a lot of gamers, I think.
A chunk of the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like visibly winced.
Clicking out of here right now. It's much easier.
Yes,
I'll tell you that. Even on the hardest difficulty, like, you just let your companions do it. Oh, let me tell you my biggest fucking gripe with Outer Worlds right now.
What?
The fucking companion abilities.
What, they're...
Do you remember that?
Well, they don't suck. Well, yeah, they suck.
So every companion ability, one, they suck. They don't do nearly enough damage. To merit the cinematic that plays every time you use an ability. Yeah. So there's one girl that has like a minigun.
Yeah, she takes a swig.
And when
That's my favorite one.
She throws her flask aside. She throws it aside. And then she shoots like a magazine, or like not a magazine, a bunch of her turret. But when she's shooting, she goes, ah! And this ability cools down within like a minute. Less than a minute.
So every minute you gotta spend like 10 seconds like popping your shit.
And it does damage. It does a lot of damage, so you want to keep doing it, but you have to watch her do it every time.
Oy.
And it's so loud. I got to the point, because Tiffany was like next to me, I muted my game whenever I used her ability, because it was so annoying. And why can't I skip them?
It should definitely be optional. Like,
is it like those like team attack things you do in Persona, where it like stops, does a cutscene thing, something happens, and then you move on?
Yes, but not nearly as cool.
Okay. I was going to say, because I fucking loved those.
Half the time it doesn't even kill them.
Oh.
Well, here's the thing with Persona. Like, normally when you have a team attack like that, like first of all, you can skip those cinematics.
Yes, you can. That was the first thing I was going to say, but yeah.
Major point. Second of all, they actually look cool. But third of all, like, it's in a turn-based RPG. Everything's already stopped. you're just doing turn by turn. This isn't an FPS where you are like shooting in the middle of a gunfight. I don't need to, in one gunfight, see 8 times a cinematic of one of my characters doing the same thing. Literally, like, you, most fights I can do it like up to 8 times, and it's like absurd. And there's another character who's like, he's the priest, and his ability is just he shoots a shotgun, but he says something before, and he does the same animation, like he's turned around and he says something as he unloads his shotgun and then he shoots. But it just, it recycles through what he says so many times, because he only says like 2 things where he'll just be like, never mess with a man of the cloth. And then the next time I use it, never mess with a man of the cloth. And I don't understand why they couldn't let you skip them, or why they even made them cinematic.
It should just be press a button and then your guy does the thing while you're still in combat.
Exactly. And then with the resources you would have saved from having to edit those cinematics, you can invest it into more voice lines so it doesn't get as tired.
Yep, exactly. Dumb.
Yes. Dumb.
That's all I have to say.
In conclusion,
factually and dumb. Scientifically.
In conclusion, yes. Dumb.
Did you play any more? You said you played some more. Brad, what'd you play?
Bravely Default.
Yes. Yeah. How is that going?
More of the fucking same. I thought they couldn't do it, but no. Then I get to the third town, and the third town's got like a weird fucking hypnotize-y spell on it, and everything seems normal, but something's amiss. And that's literally what happened in the last one.
Like hypno.
I haven't gotten all the way through the story of what exactly is causing it, but it's like a bunch of good characters who you talk to, and they all seem nice, and then you find them behind like a curtain and they're like, ah yes, love the devil. So, you know, and that's, it's just, god fucking damn it, god fucking damn it, you couldn't have done one thing different.
right
you buy the same game twice.
I got
they fleeced you, buddy.
I got fucked.
And especially now, you need comfort now more than ever, with your shoulder on the fritz, with your penis on the fritz.
It's a fucking ride.
Yeah.
I just need my comforting JRPG. But that's okay, because is it this Friday or next Friday that Monster Hunter Rise comes out?
Oh, right. I forgot that was.
And I'm about to go fucking hard on that. Because that looks...
Oh, yeah, Monster Hunter World is on the PlayStation Plus. Mm-hmm. It's on the Plus collection.
Oh, is it?
Nice. Yeah. So it's not on Game Pass though. I was wrong about that, but it is on the Plus.
I'm excited. So I'm excited for Resident Evil 8, because now I actually have a PS5, and I really did not know if I would get it in time, but I did. So that's good.
You can play that demo.
Oh shit. That's right.
As meaningless as that is.
Yeah, that's true.
You can play that demo.
I will
visuals
download it.
Visuals doggy.
Mm-hmm.
Get up close and personal.
It's not loud anymore.
It's not what?
It's not loud anymore.
What do you mean?
The PlayStation.
Oh, I thought you were talking about demo. It's like a demo was loud?
No, yeah, there was a bug where the first like month it was just a loud buzzing noise through the entire demo. If we just thought it was a quirk, but
nope,
they thought it made the game scarier.
Yeah,
it was supposed to put you into a state of unease.
Unease the whole time. Is Monster Hunter Rise, is that a whole nother installment, or is
be.
It like a smaller?
It's,
an,
it's a whole new game, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
yeah.
Everything, because I haven't looked much into it other than like seeing people post clips and some trailer footage. But
I guess for some reason, since it's on the Switch this time, I had assumed that it was going to be a smaller game.
Monster Hunter started on portable stuff. Well, I think it originally started on PS,
compared to World, though.
Oh, I gotcha.
Is what I was thinking.
I mean, here's the thing is compared. So from the game they released right before World to World, World is pussy shit.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Because the game they released right before World is Monster Hunter
for
Generations.
Ultimate? Oh, well, Generations.
It's generate. Well, it's X. It's XX because they did Generations and then they did the like updated one, and it is. It has like 75% of the monsters that have ever appeared in the Monster Hunter series.
Jesus.
Fuck. It has so many fucking hunts in that game. It is absolutely absurd.
Damn.
That's some shit.
I guess I just thought Monster Hunter World, that's the whole thing. The world. That's the whole thing. So it must be the biggest.
To be fair, they've added a bunch more in the updates and stuff. So okay. I'm sure it's growing, but I still would really doubt that the number of monsters in World even like compares to what was in XX.
I wonder if I should hop in on Rise or just go into World since it's free on PlayStation.
I mean, maybe try out World because I imagine Rise is going to be more of it. So
see if
it hooks you before you spend the money.
What are you getting it on?
Switchy. Oh, wait, World or Rise?
Yeah, well, Rise.
Wait, it was Rise on multiple stuff? I thought it was only on Switchy.
Oh, is it only on Switch? I thought it was on other stuff.
I have no idea.
Exclusive.
I thought it was, but I don't know. Let me see.
Okay.
There's going to be a new Switch.
Switch. Only Switch.
Oh, right. I did see the Bloomberg thing on the new Switch.
Bloomberg. 720p Ooh. Portable.
OLED, OLED, baby.
I don't know. Did I even...
I thought it is 720p handheld right now.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, I just don't see the appeal. I don't see the appeal
for a new Switch.
I don't know. I don't think they're bringing enough to the table.
I
would be surprised if Monster Hunter Rise runs well.
Uh-huh.
Just considering that it's a late console game.
Actually, I have faith in them because. Really? Unless they do what like World did, where all the areas are all loaded at once, Monster Hunter breaks up the area, so normally you're in like almost an arena and then you walk to like an edge and then it moves you to another arena type thing, so it makes it really easy to like instance everything.
Okay.
Because there wasn't any issues with XX because XX was on Switch and that was meaty.
I guess I'm just thinking, like, because Breath of the Wild didn't even run well when it first came out on the Switch.
And that was, like, one of the first things that came out on the Switch, too.
Right. I would just think, like, a new Switch would just be like, hey, you know that game that came out right when the Switch came out? Now you can play it.
No bullshit.
You can play it. Period.
That's funny.
Accurate. But, I mean, seriously, there's, since release and throughout, Switch like handheld has been pretty hit or miss for me, and then even some games on the big screen can like chug. So no, yeah. I'm fully in support of, even if it was literally just a Switch with more processing power and that was it.
It makes total. I would just think like even developers would be like, man, you're trying to make us make games on this shit that is just like rough. Like I'm surprised they were able to get like Doom to run on it and stuff like that, because I mean that's just great, but mm-hmm. they got to get it to run a little better. It's just they're not even trying to hit any sort of performance mark that like the PlayStation and Xbox is.
They won't even not fix saying their market, fucking controllers,
but... right? Yeah,
it's frustrating
because I think as well like Nintendo's always been known for like crisp graphics, and I don't think that they've slacked on the graphics, but those graphics should not be chugging in the slightest if you're running at that kind of thing. That should be 60 stable as fuck frames.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that time.
I think so. I have one more thing I want to say.
What? Sneak it in.
So my girlfriend got me to play Honey Pop.
Yes! I love Honey Pop. I played that on a Skype call with a friend and streamed it. It was great.
How much did you play of it?
All of it.
You played all of it?
All of it. Oh, we were invested in the plot and the story.
Right. We were playing, yeah, we only played like a couple hours. Honestly, I did return it. I played like just enough to like I could still get return the meme. It. Right. And now I'm getting in my Steam queue, I'm getting nothing, like I'm getting a lot of adult games being suggested to me.
That's funny.
Yeah, I've been blasting through the queue over and over again, and like, man, some of the shit that is on their store is just absurd.
It's all the recommendations.
All the adult sexy nudity games.
Start reference or like referring us to them. Get those in our recommendation.
As a joke, I'll send it to our group Thank chat you. And I'll be like, yeah. Wow, look at this. So
some
funny.
Research.
Honey Pop's great, though. Yeah, let's move on to some words of the week.
I got wood floors and green walls, because that's all I'm doing tomorrow. I'm working on my house tomorrow, and that's all I could think about. I've been thinking about it for days.
Nice. Yeah. Is it going to look good? Is it going to look
God,
hot?
God, I hope so.
You carpenter.
Yeah, it'll look good. I'm excited, so we'll see.
Strong,
nice.
Man.
My word of the week is brand new Obsidian made game in which it's in the future and they're doing future stuff in an entirely different galaxy, but they still have 50s advertisements. It's missing a radio though.
Dude, I couldn't find a working television in the game, but I think they do have TVs in the game though.
I don't remember a TV, but there's no radio. And I want to be sitting in my spaceship rocking out to space tunes. Why is there no radio? If they're just going to copy everything from Fallout.
Yeah, where's
anyways.
The music? Yeah. Give us some music.
Mm-hmm. Major.
Give me the 50 bangers.
Down. It'd be really funny if you turn on the radio and it's just a bunch of different advertisements. That's it. That's it.
That's all it is.
Yeah, that'd be really
well,
funny.
Well, actually, there's a conversation that I had with someone where you say, like, what's your favorite song? And then they say, like, it's not the good choice. It's Spacer's choice.
It's not the best choice. It's Spacer's choice. I love that.
And
one.
You're like, no, I said your favorite song. And you're like, no, yeah, I'm contractually obligated to make that my favorite song. That's what they said, which was pretty funny.
That's great.
For my word of the week, I want to take a serious moment for a second. Parents and kids, loved ones, pay attention to the people around you. Look for the warning signs of magic addiction. It's a real problem out there. It sweeps up the best of us, and it can leave you clueless, moneyless, and homeless. And that's a real thing.
Thank you, Brad.
Talk to your kids.
Don't let them steal your mom's credit card.
I stole my mom's credit card for magic cards.
Mummy, I'm not gonna win without my Craterhoof behemoth.
Fucking drug deals, and he pulls out the jacket, and it's a bunch of magic cards.
You can go ahead and follow us over on Instagram at VideoGameSexy, or send us an email over at VideoGameSexy@gmail.com. Our cover art is by Art of Tintin. Our music is provided by Santiago Luna. His Instagram is HitCirclesWithWood. You can find both our Instagrams on our Instagram at VideoGameSexy.